Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. My name is Father Cedric Pazegna. I'm a Catholic priest, and one of the missions that God gave me way back when I was ordained a priest 21 years ago, he told me to tell my people about the Holy Spirit. If you want to live with passion, you need power, you need strength, you need ability, and that ability comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has revolutionized my life. And as you know, if you've watched my programs in the past, I preach often about the Holy Spirit. So buckle your seatbelts, get ready, and I pray that you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the recorded live preaching. The Lord be with you. Proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. On the last and greatest day of a feast, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within the one who believes in me." And Jesus said this in reference to the Holy Spirit, that those who came to believe in him were to receive. The Gospel of the Lord. I love what Jesus just said in the Gospel. He said, "Those who believe in me will experience rivers of living water deep within." And I think about the fact that we're in a bead of springs, and I've seen your springs here, at least some of the water coming out, that pure water. And I thought to myself about how the Holy Spirit is, a continuous flow within. And you must understand what I always teach in my books and what I teach when I preach is that the Spirit is already there. There's this continuous flow. But what we do, what we need to do is catch that water, much like you do over in the park over here. You need to get your own bottle and get your own supply and catch the water and be able to drink. Jesus said, "Anybody who thirsts, come to me and drink." And I found out within me there's this river, this continuous flow, this endless supply of living water. Living water, of course, moving water. And you have that same flow in you. Now, I didn't always know that growing up. I didn't always know that the Holy Spirit lived within me. In fact, just to let you know, when I grew up in Massachusetts, I think I told you before, and grew up Catholic, I was baptized as a little baby, and I was confirmed in the eighth grade. Well, let me just tell you a little bit about my confirmation ceremony. Our teachers all told us that it was going to be this great moment of the Holy Spirit, and they showed us these pictures. You know, I'm wearing red right now. They showed us pictures of these tongues of fire above the apostles' head. And I figured, you know, it was something big is going to happen here, you know, because they tell you you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And I thought maybe I ought to go in there with an asbestos suit or something because I didn't want to catch fire. And we were all real ready for this and really anticipating, we being the classmates, about 30 of us. So back when I was confirmed, I think it was 1969 or so, I was in the eighth grade. Well, they had the altar rail there. This is in Springfield, Massachusetts, right around that area. And the bishop came and, you know, he would go up and down the line, and the confirmation back then is they give you a little slap right in the face. And so when my time came, the bishop came to me and he slapped me in the face. We moved to the next, and I'm thinking, where's the fire? I didn't feel anything. And where's all this tongues of fire and all this Holy Spirit and all this and that and something else? And I thought to myself, well, maybe I'm just kind of not a spiritual person and I missed something because I didn't feel anything. So, born and brought up Catholic, as I said, my parents were Catholic, my two sisters were Catholic, but we fell away, the whole family fell away, because I was the last one in line. My two older sisters already confirmed, and we were now given our own choice whether or not to go to church, and because I wasn't really feeling anything, I said, I really don't want to go. So I did get involved in baseball around that time, though, and I remember, you know, I was not really going to church or anything, but I was really active in sports. I remember I was even in the church Little League, even though I wasn't going to church. I was involved in the church Little League, but I wasn't going inside the church. And I remember I loved to play baseball when I was young, just loved it. Eat, drink, smoke baseball, if you will. And, well, I was really good at center field. You know, the center fielders can cover a lot of ground, and I was pretty fast, and I loved to play. And, you know, whenever they hit the ball, I'd make these diving catches and everything, and I was pretty good. You know, I was fleet of foot, and I was able to hit the ball pretty good. So they ended up, once a year, they have the All-Star game, and guess who got chosen from the team for the All-Star game? Myself and somebody else. Well, I had been to these All-Star games in the past, and I mean, these things were packed with people, kind of like right now. I mean, everybody and anybody was there, you know, packed into the stands, your parents, your classmates, your teammates, all the girls you want to impress, you know, they're all out there. And so I had been to those All-Star games in the past, and I knew everybody was going to be there, and they were going to stick me out in center field. And let's just say the day the game came, and it was a sunny day, smell of popcorn in the air, beautiful day for the game. The only thing was, one thing was missing. And what was missing, the center fielder was missing. You see, I was at home in bed with a stomach ache watching a movie. And the movie I was watching, it wasn't on the big screen, it was right in here. And this is what the movie kept playing over and over again. I kept seeing reruns. And it was this, it was the bottom of the ninth inning. There's two out, we're ahead by one run. They've got the bases loaded. All we got to do is get one more out. We're going to win. And I'm out there in center field. Don't hit it to me. Please, don't let them hit it to me. So I'm out there, and sure enough, and this is what I saw. Here comes the pitch. You know, pitcher winds up. Fly ball. And I mean, it's coming right to center field. Everybody hushes. If I catch it, we win. If I drop it, I'm the biggest goat in the world. So I'm getting under this thing, it's way up there, everybody's really quiet, everybody's watching it. I go over to it and I dropped it. And I kept seeing that over and over again. That's why I had a stomach ache. And I said, I'm not going, there's no way. Now, I think everybody has a little bit of negativity in them. I know I did. Now, I grew up in a good family, very positive family. We did well, we lived in a good section of town. I don't know where I got it. I guess it's just from being human. See, because my coach thought I could do it, and my teammates thought I could do it, my parents thought I could do it, but I didn't think I could do it. That's that whole thing of that negativity where you say, I can't do it. I can't do it. Maybe it was, could it be that right around that time I had fallen away from God and wasn't really praying all that much, and maybe that negativity was starting to overwhelm me? Well, let's just say that I had some gifts and I had some talents, but I had a lot of low self-esteem and negative self-image and negativity deep within, and it was really hard. So I got into high school and went through high school. Well, in college, my freshman year in college, that's when I had a rebirth. That's when I got in touch with the living rivers of water deep within. And I began to understand something when God touched me, when the Holy Spirit was released in me. And what you have to understand is that the Spirit had been there all along. I just didn't know it. And I had an awakening. We can call this a release. And I go like this because don't think so much of the Holy Spirit as coming down from the heavens to you. Rather, the Spirit wells up from within. Remember, rivers of living water from within the person who believes in me. And I said, wow. You know, I'm drinking this. There's the reality of the Spirit. There's this release in me, this awakening, and God is so real to me now. And one of the first things that the Holy Spirit started to deal with me with was the negativity and the low self-esteem and the identity. And I came to understand something. I wrote a book on the Holy Spirit called Glorious Holy Spirit, the second book I ever wrote, and I have a little subtitle. And it says, knowing who you are by knowing whose you are. Knowing who you are by knowing whose you are. See, I didn't know who I was. I was just basing my self-worth on how good a baseball player I was, what kind of grades I got in school, how many people liked me, the girls that I dated, and that kind of thing. So when you base your self-worth on the things of the world, you can never really measure up. You can never really have a good, dignified self-image. But then when the Spirit started to be released in me, I realized that I wasn't any of that stuff. I was much more than that. I was a son of the living God. And I came into communion with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came into communion with me. And there's a constant supply, never-ending supply of grace, of blessing, of glory, living in you. And I'm praying that tonight, and those of you watching by TV, I'm praying that this will be an awakening for you, because some of you have been really negative, and you've had a low self-image, and your self-esteem hasn't been that good. Maybe you've been thinking, well, I'm not a good parent, I'm not a good wife, I'm not a good husband, I'm not really doing good at the job, don't have much religion, that doesn't seem to be working either. Well, the Holy Spirit can revolutionize your life. In fact, when the apostles preached and they went to all these different towns, they looked at them and they said, oh no, these men who are turning the world upside down are coming here too. So in other words, they were can-do people, not I can't do it. They were can-do people, positive people, turning the world upside down, influencing the world of their day. People were changing, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being touched by God because of their witness. And so one of the first things the Holy Spirit started to do in me was to change me in terms of my attitude. Instead of, I can't do it, or I'm not good enough, or I'm never going to make it, or I'm never going to realize my potential, all of a sudden I feel this push that you can do it, and I'm with you, and you're going to do something. You're going to help people. Your life is changing. So little by little, I started changing. The other thing that happened to me is, remember now, I was always afraid that I was going to drop the ball, and I had a lot of anxiety and a lot of worry and a lot of fear. And that's something that overwhelmed me right from the start. I can't ever remember not being afraid. Afraid of what people think of me. Afraid of their judgments. Afraid of criticism. Afraid that I'm not going to measure up or be perfect. So I remember that started hitting me, and you know, I was anxious and worried and fearful. I blame it on my mother. That's the way she is. But anyway, So I got it from somewhere. I'm not quite sure where. But anyway, this new peace came to me. Remember what Jesus said? Peace I leave with you. We're gonna pray that at Mass in just a little while. My peace I give to you. And when Jesus described the peace that he had, he said, it's not like the world, because the worldly peace comes and goes. But this peace, this serenity, this tranquility remains. And nobody can ever, ever, ever take it away from you. It's kind of like Dorothy's slippers. Remember Dorothy's slippers in The Wizard of Oz? She was wearing those slippers, and the Wicked Witch of the West was trying to get it, trying to take those slippers off, because those slippers were what was bringing her home on the journey, and we're all on that journey. And the Wicked Witch of the West tried to get it, and zzz, she couldn't take it off. The only way those slippers could be taken off was if Dorothy took them off and gave them away. And that's the only way we can lose our peace. Satan can't take it away from you. The only way it can happen is if you take it off, if you lose your peace. And I love what the Bible says. It talks about the shoes of peace. Wear the shoes of peace. Well, anyway, I got this new peace that I never knew before. And it was wonderful. Peace will flow like a river, we're told in the Bible about heaven. Speaking of peace, I heard about this story. There's this man, he's checking in at the airport, and he didn't want to go into the long line, so checked it outside, his bags with a sky cap. If you ever seen these guys outside, just slip them a buck per bag, and they'll check it, no line. So, you know, he's checking the bags with the sky cap, and the sky cap took him, and he kind of handled them roughly. So the man got all upset, and he starts yelling at the sky cap, barking at the guy. So the sky cap just took it. Very peaceful, very professional, didn't fight back. The guy's yelling a little bit more, very professional. He took the whole thing. Finally, the guy leaves. A man was watching the whole thing. He goes over to him. He says, I have never seen a man yell like that in my life. And you took that with such peace and such serenity. You took that with such professionalism and such peace. How did you do it? Sky Cab kind of smiled and he said, that man is going to Miami. That bag, going to Milwaukee. So the other thing that happened to me was, you know, when it came to the Holy Spirit, now I'm talking about what lives in you. Now this Holy Spirit, we're talking about the Spirit of God now. I want you to get, don't just say, wow, isn't that nice? Father Cedric has the Holy Spirit. No, you do too, and that's what I'm trying to impress upon you. And that's the message that I preach all around the country and by TV, that the Spirit is within you. And in fact, I want to let you know that The Spirit was within you even before your confirmation and even before your baptism. And then I want to tell you that you have the Holy Spirit even if you're not Catholic. And then I want to go a little bit further and tell you that you have the Holy Spirit even if you're not Christian. And then I'm going to go even further, and I'm going to tell you that you have the Holy Spirit even if you're an atheist or an agnostic. Because when you were born, God breathed His life into you, and the Spirit is present, and you can have a rebirth. You can come to a whole new life in the Holy Spirit. And how tragic it will be for those of you who live, for those of us who live, our whole life, all these years before God, and we miss the fact that God is closer to us than ourselves. And that's what hell is going to be. You had it, you had God living within you, and you missed it. Heaven, what is it going to be? Just an extension of the beginning of the glory. You see, the Holy Spirit is the down payment, that's the word in the Greek, the foretaste of the glory to come. When I talk about the glory, you got to think about electricity and pleasure and power and the grace. And I go like this because it's this pleasurable feeling that goes all through your body, causes goosebumps and chills up and down your spine. It's that beautiful feeling of the Holy Spirit. And so heaven has already begun. We get a little taste of it even now. Peace flows like a river. You get the glory, and the presence of God is with you. So what happened to me is I developed a personal relationship with God, got peace for the first time in my life. I realized that God had been with me all my life. I just didn't know it. And then, you see, I'm wearing fire here. I'm wearing red for the color of passion, the Holy Spirit. And that's the name of my program, Live with Passion. I'm always trying to get people to be passionate and celebrative and enthusiastic and have energy in their life. Well, all of a sudden, you know, I was pretty, I guess, you know, I had some energy as a young man, but I never had motivation. I never really had a drive in my life. I never really had a dream. We heard in the first reading, Joel prophesied, your young people will dream dreams, and your old people will see visions. So in other words, the Spirit opens us up to magnificence, to a goal, to a vision, to going forward in our life in a way that we never had before. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I wasn't good enough to be a baseball player. I was too chicken. Wasn't really that great of a golfer. That wasn't going to work out. In terms of business, you know, I wasn't that good at business either. I had this low self-esteem and everything else. So finally, I got this dream and this vision that God was working in me and that God was going to do something great in me. Way back then, I got the sense that God wanted me to start preaching, proclaiming the gospel, and to, I even thought about it way back then, that one day I was going to be on TV. And I thought to myself, well, you know, that's a great dream and vision and everything, but I can't even catch a baseball in front of people. I'm too afraid. How am I ever going to do this? So there was this determination and this fire and this grace within me, this blessing, driving me forward. But remember now, you know, grace builds on nature. There's still my human nature, and my human nature was fear, anxiety, and some deep distress deep within. So there was a little bit of a problem there, but I figured, you know, with God, we can do it. God's with me. Never say no way. Keep moving forward. And that's exactly what I did. I discerned a call. And I sensed that God was calling me to the priesthood. It took a while to figure that out. You know, I went through a lot of trials and tribulations with that, but make a long story short, I end up professing my vows. I told you about that last night, and now right after I professed my first vows, I went to the, now you got to get trained, and I went to the Catholic Theological Union up in Chicago, and that's our seminary. Very esteemed seminary, well thought of. People know about it all over the country. Catholic Theological Union at Chicago, right on the shores of Lake Michigan. So I'm going to go up there, you know, with my dream and my vision, and God's going to use me to preach and touch a lot of people, and just got to go through some classes, and I'll be out there pretty soon. Well, you know, it was 4 years, and I had, it's called formation. And I go like this because you got to be formed, you got to be taught, you got to go through some trials and tribulations before they ever give you a microphone and you get up here. So there I was at the Catholic Theological Union, and I discovered right away that this place had a lot of high-powered people teaching there. For example, there were theologians and scripture scholars and historians and liturgists and ethicists and all these different people who had written books, published articles, well-sought-after speakers. And you can tell the high-powered people because they always have a little comma after their name with initials. The more initials, the more high-powered they are. Things like, you know, comma PhD, comma TNT, you know, these type people. So anyway, I'm up there and, by the way, one of the men who taught scripture at our school was now the president of the Catholic Theological Union, scripture scholar, New Testament scholar, great speaker, very good looking, very sleek, you know, everybody loves him and everything. And he edited the New American Bible, the Catholic Bible, edited the Catholic Bible, and right there on the front of the Bible had his name on there. And I'm thinking, I guess I was naive growing up. I always thought God wrote the Bible. Now I'm finding out that it's one of my teachers there. He's got his name right on the front of the Bible. And this is the type of place the Catholic Theological Union is. I didn't know where I was stepping into. I just thought it was a school, a seminary. Well, there was a lot going on. Well, you might think that a person like myself or Father Robert or any of the priests, you may not know where we start preaching. You may think, well, it just kind of happens somewhere. You probably haven't given much thought to it, but let me tell you where it happens. It's right in front of the scripture scholars and the ethicists and the historians and the liturgists and, you know, all these theologians. And once a day, we would have Mass in a chapel. It seats about 100 people in the round, and let's just say that second row there was about the back row, and everybody's right around you and very close, very intimate. And so I knew I was going to have to preach sooner or later, and your formation director put you on, and all the students are going to be there, all the high-powered people are going to be there, and that's fine, you know, because after all, I'm anointed, the Lord has blessed me with the Holy Spirit, I'm called, I'm chosen, I know that God wants me to do this, so I can do it, I think. And so anyway, the day came where they put my name on the board. Now, I don't get to choose what I want to preach. I don't get to choose the scriptures. It's the daily scriptures. You got to take what you get. But after all, since God has chosen me and called me, God's faithful, right? You know, he's going to give me something good like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Or Acts chapter 2 about Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's my expertise. Watch this. So I go up there to the board because I knew they put my name on there. I wanted to see what they put me next to. And I didn't immediately recognize the scripture. It was Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. I said, what in the world is that? I've never heard of that before. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. So, real quick, I went back to my room and got my Bible and started thumbing through it. So, what's this going to be? So, Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20, Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20, Mark chapter 5, 1 through... Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20. You know what it was? It was the gospel of Jesus goes over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he's met, you know, he just goes through this big storm, and he's met not by a welcoming committee, and by the way, where he was going from Jewish territory over to Gentile territory for the first time in his ministry. So now he's branching out. He's going to new territory here, just like I was. So he's going across the Sea of Galilee. Remember, a storm hit him? And that storm was really satanic. It was this evil thing, because when Jesus said peace to the storm, the word in the Greek is be muzzled, like you muzzle a dog that's barking and snarling at you. So Jesus said, be muzzled. And the storm stopped. He gets over. So the storm was trying to stop him. And by the way, when you try to do anything great or try to do anything, any advancement, things are going to try to stop you. But, you know, you got to have that peace that surpasses all understanding and don't be codependent on events and circumstances and people and let them stop you. So anyway, he gets over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. What does he encounter? Welcoming committee. Thank you, Jesus, for coming over here. You're going to heal everybody. No, no welcoming committee there. It was this man who used chains and knives to destroy people and himself. His name was Legion. And he's possessed not just by one demon. He's possessed by a legion of demons. A legion was a Roman cohort of about 144 men. So there's lots of demons in there. I mean, not just the seven demons that were cast out of Mary Magdalene. I mean, there's lots of them in there. So Jesus is met by this legion man. And, of course, Jesus prays over him. Remember what happened. And he casts the demons out of him. And where do they go? Into the pigs. And they get into the pigs. The pigs over the cliff, right into the Sea of Galilee. They all drown. Pigs are gone. The demons are gone. For the first time in his life, the man is clothed in his right mind. And he's got peace. You know what he said to Jesus? He said, "Jesus, let me follow you." It's like the only person in the Bible that asked to follow Jesus, and Jesus said, no. Jesus said, no. You know what he said? "Go home and tell everybody how good God has been to you." I hope you enjoyed that teaching about the Holy Spirit. That's an absolute true story. I was so afraid in front of all those people, and I went through the fear. But the Holy Spirit was with me, and the Holy Spirit is with you. The Spirit of God wants to help you to have an intimate relationship with God and to realize your potential. I invite you to consider this book, Glorious Holy Spirit, over 200 pages to bring you into a deep personal relationship with the Spirit of God who lives within you. This book will revolutionize your life. I talk in very easy terms. I use lots of stories. You will understand who the Holy Spirit is. And the subtitle is Knowing Who You Are by Knowing Whose You Are. Also, the book called He Touched Me will really touch your life. The Holy Spirit wants to touch you, and I believe that God will touch you as you read this book. I receive lots of emails and lots of letters, as you know, from these programs that go out around the country. One viewer in New York, I'm on in New York every day, she said, "If anybody had ever told me that I would voluntarily get out of my warm bed at 5:30 in the morning for anything less than a national catastrophe or a medical emergency, I would have said that they were crazy. However, since watching your program, listening to your inspiring teaching about Jesus, I have felt such a conviction about the way I've been living my so-called Christian life, and I have such a desire to surrender my heart to the Holy Spirit. Words can hardly express my appreciation about your teaching. I love reaching out around the country. I want to touch everybody's life with the truth that has revolutionized my life. Every time you buy a resource, you help me to inspire people, to reach out to people in prison, to reach out to people who are flipping through their channels in a hotel room, to reach out to people who are lost and who want to change, who need a Savior. Please help me to reach out. When you buy my resources, I'm a priest with a vow of poverty. 100% of your money is going to go directly to these programs, to buy airtime, to produce these programs, and to help me reach out. Would you help me by buying one of my resources or possibly becoming a partner with my ministry? Thank you so much in advance. And remember, don't just live, live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.